Welcome to the Worship Leader Toolbox Podcast. You're listening to an episode about limiting the fires your volunteers are asked to fight each weekend. There will always be times when something goes wrong during the weekend service. You might be so focused in your own ministry that you don't remember the fact that everyone, at some point, no matter what size and what situation a church is, somebody is dealing with a dead battery, a piece of malfunctioning equipment, a last-minute change that threw off the sound and video crew, or some kind of feedback gremlin in the soundboard. Some chords may not work, something may work during soundcheck just fine and then go away, and stuff like this just happens, and we do our best to make do and get through it. In fact, overcoming some of the technical issues on Sunday morning can really motivate your volunteer team. It kind of allows them to feel needed, included, accomplished. Some kind of crisis happens and pull ourselves together and make it happen. We feel successful about that. And in a lot of ways, we retell those stories, those amazing moments that a huge production went off without a hitch, or a special moment by God's grace that everything went well, even in the glitch or the small hiccup that was overcome. Maybe something totally out of our control, like the electricity goes out of the building and all of a sudden it's an a cappella moment in worship. And I think this is at least an informal technical term. It's called putting out fires. Tech team members understand this maybe more than the worship band people, but it could apply to almost anybody. I think tech team people understand it because it does happen more than we think. So every once in a while, you got to put out a fire. That's one thing. But if your team is putting out a fire every single week, it becomes draining and not that much fun for the people who are involved in your ministry. So when the team is constantly hearing about last-minute needs, even though everybody's happy to do it, if it's a habit and a pattern in the church, kind of throws off every single Sunday morning. If the equipment's messed up, or, you know, the church can't afford to change it, maybe there's some kind of issue with some kind of old, outdated something, and half the channels don't work, and it's always frustrating, always trying to make do and switch things in the back. Or maybe it's whenever we lack some needed team members, and we wind up stressing out before and during every service because we're not exactly sure how we're going to pull it off with just two people instead of three, or whatever the number is in your organization. So the tech team members might live in this world, but it's really not good. So one of the things that we need to do as leaders, as the worship leader, the pastor, or the tech team leader, is to limit the amount of fires that we're asking them to deal with. So what are some of the ways that we can limit the fires that happen around us on Sunday? I've got eight ideas here. Some of them might seem a little repetitive, but I threw them in anyway. The first one is to get the right stuff. We have to make it a goal to have the best tech possible, the pieces that make it the easiest and the smoothest. I know that in the tech world, it definitely seems like the more you get, the more you need, and everybody has a different opinion about what could be good or what is needed in a church. And sometimes, unless a church grows past this, it's difficult to even overcome that barrier of it's really a back burner issue for most of the people. And it seems like if you can hear somebody, then that you're good to go. And so you don't have an opportunity to make it better. So we do need to get the right stuff. And this is all on a sliding scale, I know, because for some church, the right stuff might be a direct box or some kind of adapter or a wedge monitor or a new microphone. For other churches, the right stuff might be a whole new video mixer setup or a whole new lighting board of some kind or new lights on the stage or other kinds of components. And this can be as large or small as it needs to be. And I probably don't need to say that anymore because everybody kind of can get a picture of that. But we definitely want to get the right stuff. If you don't have that kind of authority voice in your church, then there is the opportunity to invest a little bit of money to pay someone to come and assess your equipment and maybe even train your team on it to help tweak it a little bit, make sure it's good, make sure the stuff is working well, and to give suggestions of what might be a next step or a next piece to make it better. You know, if you could purchase a couple new mics or a couple new stands, it just makes life easier. And if it's not, you know, too hard for your church, you could just go ahead and do an overhaul, especially if the system is really super old. So getting the right stuff is really a key part of that. And it's going to limit the fires for sure. Second thing is, we want to fix what is broken. So this goes along with that. One of the ways we could do this to make people feel a little better about the situation we're serving in each week is to give the leaders of the tech ministry authority to fix things and do what needs to be done. Is there a switch that's broken, or like a power strip needs to be sort of installed up underneath something so people aren't tripping? Or is there an input on the stage area that isn't working? Your team has the ability and the authority, probably more than maybe even the worship leader or the pastor, to get the parts, get the stuff, and solder it in, put it in, install it, fix it, do whatever it takes. And they can bring a receipt, you can reimburse them. And if it's a thing where it's over everybody's head, again, you could invite an expert to come take a look. And often sound expert, kind of a consultant in the area of letting you know what kinds of things could be helpful. And then you can go from there. Number three, along those same lines, plan ahead for preventative maintenance. Your tech stuff will wear out. And these days it wears out quicker and quicker. I've been in a lot of churches that have sound systems and speakers that are really super ancient. They've just been around forever. They've kind of done the trick. They don't get used in full power that much. They don't get used all that often throughout the week. So they seem just to stay there and stay for a long, long time. In fact, our own church sanctuary has some speakers that have been around for way too long now. And we've been in the process of trying to figure out how to get those bumped up and get a new setup there. But stuff is going to wear out. And so one of the things that helps keep things fresh and moving forward is to just plan on spending whatever the, you know, relative scale is, $5,000 or $7,000 a year, or maybe it's $18,000 or $25,000 a year, to make sure you replace the things that are approaching 8 to 10 year marks, because those things probably still work, but at some point they're not going to work. And so one of the fresh ways to make it happen is take the equipment, stagger the purchases, so you don't have to do a $300,000 overhaul all of a sudden. It could be more like a few thousand each year. You could take the equipment that's still working, but maybe going bad eventually, and sell that, and you can just build a schedule and a system for planning ahead and having preventative maintenance on your sound stuff. Same goes for the cords and the cables and the jacks and all the simple little things as well for the worship team. If you have a cord that has a short in it, my go-to mode, because I am not much of a tech person, I don't even own a soldering iron, my go-to mode is to throw that cord away, especially if it's an instrument cable, because the worst thing to do is to have the frustration of pulling out the same bad cord every other week and saying, oh, is this the bad cord? Nobody knows. So if there's a cord that doesn't work, it's gone. Unless somebody is standing right there and says, I could take that home and solder it. What I usually do in that case is I assume they're going to take it home and keep it, because one, they may never get to soldering it. And two, if they do, they're probably not going to get it back to the building. So I just assume it's either going in the trash or into somebody's home. Number four, I think we're on, provide special perks. Again, you may not be able to do an entire overhaul for your equipment at your church, but again, this podcast is focused on limiting the amount of fires that need to be put out. And so you probably can purchase something, which is kind of a sign of good faith and a sign of encouragement and energy, a sign of noticing that you have tech people there. You don't want them to feel like they have leftovers and are working with nothing all the time. You can spend just a little bit of money to upgrade something to kind of freshen up and have a little spurt of energy. Even something like a new camera, or building a new sound cart or desk, or even rolling chairs with armrests sitting behind the computer for the person running ProPresenter. And those little things won't be a ton of money, but they will increase the feeling of importance and thanks to the tech team and the people who are serving behind the scenes. All right, so I think we're on number five. Celebrate Sundays that are great. Now, we should also just add, we celebrate Sundays that something kind of goes wacko too. Most often, a lot of people don't really notice the things that go wacko. But if there is a Sunday where everything's gone really super smooth, you really just want to hold that up as a kind of a beacon of, this is how we want things to be. What did we do that worked well? How did this all come together? And as we do that, then our people are seeking that sort of effectiveness on a regular basis. And then you can also celebrate on the other days the fact that your tech team was able to actually make it happen. Number six, control what you can control. So here's a big one, and maybe it's the linchpin of all these. You can't do much about a power surge or internet issues from some sort of issue outside your building or some screen going out just before worship starts. But you can control so many other things that allow for the unknowns to be the only problem instead of straw that broke the camel's back. So if you have an electricity issue in your building and there's some sort of problem with the internet or live streaming or whatever else, but already that morning you've dealt with miscommunication and having to set up another mic and a kids choir was going to sing a song and something's going to happen here and something's going to happen there and something wasn't in ProPresenter and you had to change something around, If you've done all that and then have a big issue, it's just like overload. It's just too much. So you control the things that you can control so that when something comes up that's out of your control, you can focus on it. So here are some things that are great to control. The best case scenario is that there aren't any tech surprises on a weekend before worship. It should all be planned out ahead of time. There shouldn't be a need to add stuff into presentations on Sunday morning. That should all be done, and you can slowly build the culture. Talking out of both sides of my mouth here, because I do like to have the worship team support, bend over backwards really, supporting the mission and goal of the church and the pastor, the preacher for that day. If there's something that just has to happen, we have to do it. We don't want to just say, nah, we're not going to do that. It just, you want to build bridges. But again, that's where you don't want to overdo that. You don't want to play that card all the time. You want to allow for those to be very intermittent so that when it does come up, you're happy to do it and not all upset about it. So that's one thing. Every once in a while, you may have to do something like that, change one little thing, but work toward building a culture of everything being in place and ready to go before Sunday morning. And so much of that does depend on the leaders, the pastor, the worship leader, the tech leaders. If we are pushing hard to say, we need all this in, every little detail, what are the announcements we're going to be saying? Is everything printed? Is everything ready? Everything on board? Then it will start building that expectation that we're not going to throw this out here at 8:20 on Sunday before 10 o'clock church. It's going to be done and ready to go. And there aren't any surprises. That way, if there's a volunteer who gets sick, can't make it, then you don't have to try to get all the stuff into the computer and change the sound settings and do a bunch of extra setup and try to figure out who's going to help during that morning when somebody wasn't able to make it. So we want to control the things we can control so that when the surprises come up, we have bandwidth. All right, I think we're on number 7. We want to create systems. Another way to eliminate the fires that your people deal with, to have systems in place. How loud do we want the soundboard? That's a good system to put in place, especially if you have volunteer operators that are rotating. Is there a marker there for someone to see on the soundboard? Maybe there's like actually a meter, some kind of decibel reader, some kind of little magnet that says, hey, we go about to hear, whatever the case is. And I don't actually know tons of stuff about soundboards, but I've messed with them all my life just from the opposite end. How do we get the right info to the tech team during the week? How do we have that flow? If you're a church that has multiple staff members that are there all through the week working on this and putting together the church service for the weekend, all the different services, then this kind of system is also important because you still have to know who's going to say what and when. When's the deadline? How's this going to get there? How do people find it? How are the volunteers you're going to be serving involved in that? You have to have a system for that, and it has to be known. And maybe even more important for the church that has a pastor and maybe a part-time worship leader and everybody else is volunteer, you really have to have a system, and you want to make that system easily accessible for your people. And you want them to have a chance to at least know mentally, hey, I got to get to church early because we're setting up this many mics for this particular event, and we've got this picture we want to put in because we have a baptism today. Whatever the case is, even if they don't have time all week long, they at least know what's coming and they can put it together. So we want to create that system. How do they access it? How do they get it? What time do they get it by? When do they need it? And all those different things. How do you schedule your volunteers? What's the backup plan if somebody can't make it? How do you turn things on? What are the steps? All those things are systems. A lot of them can be written in kind of policy and procedure kind of form, and they can be known to everybody. They can be looked at. But I've kind of found, at least in my own personality style, that those things become obsolete so quickly that it's almost better just to kind of be on repeat each week during rehearsals or during prep times and just say, okay, just a reminder, lights go down at this time, or we don't want this, make sure we hit the button before the last word of the line before the slide. All the different things that you want to build into the culture, you just say them, put them on repeat. And the more volunteers you have and the bigger your rotation list, the more slowly you have to say that and the longer it will take to repeat it. In our church, often it would take me 6 weeks to make one announcement if I was relying on that method. If it was a major thing, I would definitely try to send a memo, send a note, let everybody know it, and I would still put it on repeat, say it verbally over and over so that people caught on. Whatever your system is, you have to create that so that you can eliminate the number of fires that happen on Sunday. And then number 8, the last thing, the last way you can help eliminate the number of fires your people have to deal with on the worship service times is to thank your team. Never forget just how important the tech team is, especially to the effective leading of corporate worship on Sunday mornings. Encourage them, buy them lunch now and then, seek their input and feedback, and get them as much as possible what they need so that they can feel like they have the tools to do the job well, and that they're noticed, and that they're loved, and that the corporate worship setting is enhanced because they can do what they've been called to do in the role they're serving in. Now, one last aspect I should have thrown in a little bit earlier when I was talking about buying stuff. One thing that I always think about is, if you take a look at the prices of something, and say you need some piece of equipment that costs $3,000, and everybody looks at that and says, oh man, that's going to be really tough just to, you know, up and purchase that. And so one of the things that it's hard to overcome is, yeah, $3,000 for one little piece of equipment might be one thing for a person who is using it. But it's not just one person using this stuff. This is really our church's equipment. So if you have, you know, 300 people at church, then you're only talking $10 a person to have this piece of equipment. If you divide that by Sundays, 50 Sundays a year, then you're down into the pennies of how much each person is spending to have the right equipment. So often when I've put a proposal together to share what's needed and what we got to get and what needs to happen, I often will break it down so that we can see how much this is per attender in the worship service. It's just not as much as it seems like whenever it's just us spending $3,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 on some kind of tech equipment to enhance what we're doing. We don't want our volunteers and our staff running around saying they're putting out fires all the time. We just don't want that. We want to eliminate that phrase as much as possible. And we want to do some things that help eliminate it. So this is the list one more time. Get the right stuff. Fix what's broken. Plan ahead preventative maintenance. Provide special perks. And there's like a little simple thing. Even a new chair for somebody running a computer can make a difference and make them feel noticed. Celebrate Sundays that are great, and celebrate when they able to pull off things and overcome a situation that was out of their control. Number six, control what you can control. One of the big linchpins of the whole list. Create systems, which is going to be how you can control stuff. And the last one is to thank your team. Grateful to have you listening to the Worship Leader Toolbox podcast, and would love to have you take a look at the website. There's a place on there where you can get a couple resources. One of them is 9 Ways to Sharpen Your Ministry. You can download that free presentation, sort of just a bunch of bullet points and thoughts for enhancing. We also have a Facebook page, Worship Leader Toolbox, and we have a small group community group, a private group that you have to actually get on Facebook. It's called the Worship Leader Toolbox community, and you can ask to join there and be a part of that group as well. Well, thanks for listening. Look forward to speaking with you next time.